Take your Bibles, please. Open them to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read verses 18 through 24 together. Luke chapter 15, verses 18 through 24. And then we'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray. We'll have a special. And then I'll come back and preach. And I'll get you out pretty close to being right at noon this morning. Luke chapter, I read the whole book of Proverbs yesterday. I got Proverbs on the brain, amen. Luke chapter 16, verses 18 through 24. Luke 15, I'm sorry, did I say 16? Take your Bible, turn to Luke 15. If I'd turn that thing over and look at it, Luke 15, 18 through 24. We'll read this passage responsively. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And let's finish on verse 24 together. Ready? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. May I have the attention of each and every person in this room. Lord, it's not for me. It's not for even necessarily them. It's for you. Lord, our lives are to reflect you. Our lives are to be lived for you. And I pray that you teach us this morning through the preaching of your word, please, in a special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me your attention this morning. I want every person to look at me. I know you're listening when I see your eyeballs. When you're looking down and looking at the floor or looking at your phone or something else, you're not paying attention. And I'll promise you the next 36, 37, 38 minutes are more vital to you than anything else going on in the world today. If you'll listen to me, I can help you. This is, of course, here in Luke 15, the story of what we call the prodigal son. Man had two sons, and they grew up, and eventually one of them came to his father and said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. Give me what's mine, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go live my life the way I want to live. And the father did. He gave him his portion of the inheritance. The Bible says that he went to a far country. You have to understand something. This wasn't a teenager living at home. This was a person that was grown, a full-grown adult. Left, went to another country, and the Bible says he wasted his life with riotous living. We find out in verse number 30 that the Bible even says that he wasted his money on harlots. Prostitution. Now, wait a minute. This son one day is broke. He has nothing. But we know this, he didn't want to live the way his daddy wanted him to live, so he left. He went out and did his own thing. And I want you to notice something about this story that we often pass by. Did you notice there's no mama mentioned? The Bible says that he decided to go home one day and he saw his father. His father ran out to meet him and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Personally, I believe his mama died and was in heaven. She's not mentioned. And by the way, there's no mama in the world that had a child that goes astray that when they come back wouldn't have been there. Right. Promise you that. Promise you. This young man moved to a far country and wasted his money, wasted his life, and his money and himself became the center of attention. Oh, he had plenty of friends as long as he had money. But when the money gave out, so did the friends. As most foolish people, he spent it all. Bible said he had nothing left. He had nothing left. Matter of fact, the world only wants you as long as they can get something from you, and then when you can't give them what they want, they spit you up and throw you out. You can go all the rock concerts you want. You can say that, oh, you just love this group, but they don't come visit you in the hospital. They don't come comfort you when you have a death in the family. They're not there when the hard times come. They just want your money. Hollywood, oh, I just love this actor. I just love this actress. They don't do anything for you except take your mind off reality, pump you full of bad things. You see, the world only wants you long enough so they can suck what they need from you. After they're done sucking it from you and you can't give them anymore, they leave and go to somebody else. Think about this. This broke Jewish young man is so hungry and so broke, he starts feeding pigs. Now, wait a minute. Jews don't touch pigs. To them, a pig is an unclean animal. And here he is, slopping hogs. And his agreement with the farmer was, you can eat the husks that the pigs don't eat. Imagine, you know, the husk that's on the outside of the corn, that green stuff that you peel away? That's what he was eating. He wasn't eating the corn. He wasn't eating the cob. He's eating that green husk. You talk about roughage. That's roughage. One day he's feeding pigs in the nastiness of a pig pen. And he looks at his life and says, my dad is a wealthy man. I had it all. Here I am feeding a bunch of dirty pigs, eating what the pigs won't even eat, and my dad's workers live better than I do. He said, I wonder if my dad would let me go work for him. And the Bible says that he got himself up and he went back home. And as he was traveling home, his dad looked up and saw him coming a great ways off. And dad ran out and met him and fell on his neck and said, son, I love you. Welcome home. They had a party that night. And they celebrated that his son was home. Now, let me say this. Dad knew that walk.
Yes.
Dad knew that was his boy. Just by the walk. Dad also knew by the walk that boy was broken and humbled. He didn't come strutting in with his entourage. He come with his head down. But he ran out and met his son and threw his arms around him and said, son, I'm glad you're home. I imagine there was some apologies from the son to the dad. He said, it's okay. I'll hire you. That night, they had a party. The Bible says they put a new robe on him and gave him shoes and he gave him a nice ring to put on. But may I say something? 4:30 the next morning, he was up working like the rest of the ranch hands. This is where many stop the story. I want to continue it. Do you know that the next morning, Brother Mike, do you know who his boss was? His big brother. The son that stayed home. He's the boss. He is now living with the ranch hands. He has the family name, but he's a worker all day long. Oh, he might get to go to Sunday dinner with his dad and his brother. He might get to go to the family birthday parties or things, but now he's an employee. Now, think about this. This is the thought for the day. Daddy did not change. Home did not change.
Praise the Lord.
The prodigal left and changed. But Dad did not change. Just because the son changed, Dad did not change to go get him back. Dad made the son change to come back. He didn't change so he could come back. May I say something? Dad's reputation wasn't smeared by it. Because that was a grown child. Every man gives an account for his own life.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Everybody. Now listen to me very carefully. This was not a minor child. Dad had already established what the rules are at home. That's why he left to begin with. If he did not change before, it was definitely not. If Dad did not change before, Dad did not change to keep his son from leaving, why would he change now? I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me, because you'll kill me in a little bit. We're not to change for our kids or our grandchildren. We're to live right and please God no matter who does or who does not.
Yes.
So, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. I've had to live it. How about you? I want you to know the greatest part of this whole story is Dad did not change.
Praise the Lord.
Dad did not change. Right and wrong did not change.
Right.
The way things were supposed to be did not change. I don't care what the government says. Can I tell you something? When you're born, you know whether you're a girl or a boy. It's very, very obvious.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't take but 3 seconds to walk into a barnyard and figure out which ones are the bulls and which ones are the cows.
Yes, sir.
They're plumb different.
Yep.
There's no confusion at all about it.
None whatsoever.
I guarantee it. You can put 6 bulls in a pen. They all know they're all bulls. Trust me. And you won't have one that's wondering whether he's a bull or a cow. Everybody doing all right? Right does not change. Truth does not change. Whether a young person believes it or not doesn't change it or not. Whether a young person is going to accept it or not doesn't change it.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to preach for about 25 more minutes here. Hang on. Tie your shoes because it's going to get a little rough. Number one, Dad stayed home and kept the same rules all along. Can I tell you something? This book does not change.
Amen.
The Bible does not change. Now, men rewrite it so that they don't have to live by it. I'm not talking about the man-made versions. I'm talking about God's.
Yes, that's
right. I'm not talking about Father so-and-so that dresses like Mama, speaking in pig Latin, Latin, spitting out all kinds of stuff that, well, you don't need to read the Bible. You just let me give it to you as you're supposed to get it. That's wicked as hell.
Yes, that's right.
The Bible does not change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God forever
Yes, sir.
Liveth and abideth forever.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? Truth does not change. Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. You stand up. Let's see here. Josh, come on up here for a second. I'm going to have you stand up right here. You're old enough to be Josh's grandpa. I mean, father. Just about old enough. Anyway, can I tell you something? What was right and wrong in his day is still right and wrong in his day.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother Fred, you're too old to stand up. But what was right and wrong in his day is still right and wrong in his day and still right and wrong in his day.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Truth does not change.
Amen.
Brother Fred, 1 + 1 when you were growing up equaled what? Yes, 2. One for each hole in your nose, all right? Brother Stoltz, 1 + 1 equals what?
2.
Josh, this is tough. Think you can get it? He's only a senior.
I think it's 2.
2. There you go. Guess what? It's a truth. It does not change.
Amen. That's true.
Did you know that the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west since the time he was born? And that was after the second sunrise. And it was when he was born, and it has been since he's born. It's a truth. It does not change. Everybody listen to me.
Amen.
Truth does not change. Doesn't matter what the generation is.
That's right.
Have a seat. Can I tell you something? The Bible does not change, and I don't care what generation it's for.
That's right.
I don't give a flip. You know, Dad kept the rule no matter who did or who did not. Parents, can tell you something? Do right whether your kids do or not.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If they're living under your roof, make them do right. If they're not going to do right, they can go find somewhere else to live.
Yes, sir.
Right. It's that simple. Yes. It's not because you're mean, but you have an obligation to God to do that which is right.
Yes, sir.
Dad did not let the rules be broken at home. That's why his son left. He said, I don't want to live by your rules, Dad. And he said, all right, but you're not going to live here. Matter of fact, he moved far away. Dad didn't follow Junior to the pig pen. Dad stayed at home keeping the rules. Dad didn't travel to the far country and say, oh, baby, 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 would you come home? Man, you was one ugly baby too. Just come back. It'll all be okay. I'll make sure it's okay. No, Dad stayed home doing what Dad was supposed to do. I want you to notice something. Dad never left.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Dad
didn't go get Junior and make excuses for why he was doing wrong. I am so sick and tired of this mamby-pamby, sissy-britches generation we've got today. We want to excuse the wrong that everybody else does to make us feel better about the wrong we or our kids are doing. I told the young people in Sunday school this morning, stepped down there and I said, look, we're going to do right whether the young people that are at the conference do right or not. Doesn't matter to
right.
me. And our standards may be a little higher than others. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I've been preaching around the country for 30 years. I'm known for certain things. We're not going to change it.
Amen.
Our young people represent God. They represent our church. And they represent me. And I'm going to have hundreds of people there that know me. We're not changing it just because you don't like the rule.
Amen.
That rule was there long before you were born. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. What are you going to do when you go to work and you have to wear a uniform you don't want to wear? Why don't you wear the uniform of a Christian?
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It's not your job to go rescue your kids in the wrong that they're doing and bring them back and tell them it's okay. Every once in a while, you got to let them just suffer it out. If they get in trouble at school, quit going to the teacher and complaining about how unfair the teacher was. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You don't go get them and say, well, I'll get you home and then I can make you do right. They left doing wrong. What makes you think you can get them to do right now? Brother Mike, I remember 15 years old. I was getting ready to turn 16, and I was getting ready to get my driver's license. Back in those days, you didn't get it at 15. You got it at 16 in Ohio. My dad said this, son, I'll tell you something. You ever get in trouble and the police pick you up and they take you to jail? Don't call me. He said, because if you're there, you deserve to be there, and I ain't coming getting you. I never ended up in jail. My dad's 79 years old. I'm 50 years old. Guess what? I still wouldn't call my dad. Because he wouldn't come get me. You say, you have a mean dad. Nope. That dad taught me how to be a man, so I would do right when he was there or when he was not there. I got in trouble one day at school. Honestly, I really this time didn't do it. And the teacher called my dad. My dad said, good. I said, but dad, I didn't do it. He said, how many things have you done that you didn't get caught for? I said, let's not go there. He said, then it's going to stick.
Yes.
And then he whipped me again. Man, I got whipped there and I got whipped at home. He said, well, that's not fair. You're going to warp their psyche. Well, he never called it a psyche, but he warped it. He called it something else. Dad didn't go around talking about the wrong his son was living. You know, we gossip about the wrong people do way too much. We want to spiritualize it. Oh, go pray for my son. He's in bad sin. He's doing this. Just say pray for my kid. Like it or lump it. Doesn't matter why. Yes, sir. We don't need to know all the bad things. By the way, Dad didn't let the wrong his son was doing consume his life to where it ruined Dad's life.
Well, that's good, preacher.
Amen.
I remember the day when my oldest left home the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
I remember the day he was expelled from Bible college. I won't go much further than that. But my wife and I went through about a year and a half of hell on earth. I remember one day he said, Dad, can I come home and live? Because he was virtually homeless. And I said, nope. I said, you have to live right for 6 months before you live in my house. You got a younger brother and younger sister, and I'm not going to let you break the rules in front of them. When you can come back, I'll help you find a place. He said, no, that's okay. About a year later, he finally called me and he said, Dad, I'm tired of running. I said, good, let me help you. But you're still not moving home. I found him a place to rent real cheap with a Christian godly man. For about 5 months, he lived with that man, proved himself. Decided he was going to go back to his Bible college and apologize to Brother Fugit and apologize to Dr. Jorgensen. Asked for an opportunity to go back and finish what he had started. They got the approval, and I let him move back home for that couple months before he left for Bible college again. Well, by the way, he's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida right now.
Praise the Lord.
But I still held to what was right, and I didn't let it affect me. Can I tell you what? You ought to be preaching to young people when your son's living the wrong way. I had people calling me from around the country saying, you ought to resign the ministry. You can't run your own house well. He was an adult child. I had no control over it.
Right.
Told them to take their Pharisaical snoot and stick it somewhere else.
Yeah. Amen.
Parents, can I tell you something? God only had one perfect child. He's had billions of their imperfect.
Yeah,
that's right. If a holy, righteous, unsinful God can only have one perfect child, what chance do we have as sinners to have perfect children? Dad didn't let it consume his life with trying to get his son back. He made a place available for him to come back to. Now listen to this. Our church is going to do right. And we're going to do right the Bible way, whether any other church does it, any other preacher does it, or any other group of Christians you know does it or not. We're not changing it.
Amen.
Not going the contemporary way. Amen. Not going the modern way. We might not have all the fancy schmancy things, and we're definitely not going to have the big movie screens with the bouncy balls and good night. My face is ugly enough. Putting it on a 30-foot screen is not going to make it any better.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. We are not going to change to the modernist way.
Amen.
Say why? Because God didn't set it up that way. It's the old-fashioned way.
Yes, sir.
It didn't change. Just because it's 2018 doesn't change the truth.
Amen.
So, number one, and I must hurry, Dad stayed at home and kept the same rules all along. Number two, Dad didn't blame God, Dad didn't blame himself, and God didn't blame somebody else for the way his son turned out. Period. Did you know he had another son that made good decisions?
Yes, sir.
How come he's not getting the credit for all the good things his good son got? Why is it we only want to judge somebody for wrong? How about we bless them for right? Bless you, by the way. Do you know it's not your fault when your adult children don't do exactly what is right and wrong? It's their fault. Everybody doing okay? I'm about to cut loose here, so hang on. The one that stayed home gained everything. The one that rebelled lost it all. The sons, both of those boys, knew Dad was going to do right because Dad's character proved that. Can I tell you something? Parents, you're supposed to set the example. Brother Mike, I remember the day Josh called me. He said, Dad, I'm ready to... I'm done running. I was sitting in a tree stand, bow hunting. When the phone call came and he said, Dad, I think I'm tired of running. I couldn't get out of that stupid climber stand fast. I was sitting on your piece of property. I was coming down the tree before the next word came out of his mouth. I said, son, what made you change your mind? He said, Dad, I've done a lot of things I won't even tell you that I've done. He said, but every day of my life since I started running, he said, I can see you on your knees reading your Bible and praying every morning early. He said, I can see my mama sitting at the couch with her Bible open praying for me. He said, I can't run from it anymore.
Praise the Lord.
He said, I know I've messed up, but I knew it's okay to come back.
Praise the Lord.
And I know if I come back, I got to live by the rules, because you're not going to change them. I said, you're right. By the way, I love him. I'm proud of him.
Yes, sir.
But I'm proud of the other two that didn't run, too. Everybody doing all right? You see, Dad didn't mope and cry and mourn all day long over the foolishness of his grown child. I know people that have ruined their own life because their children were idiots. Sorry, that's the nicest word I know how to say. Just because your child messes up and doesn't do what you think they ought to do, or maybe even do something blatantly wrong, is no reason for you to quit living for God and doing right. I'm sure it hurt. I know it hurt because I know how bad it hurt me. But he didn't allow the son's failure to control his life. Dad was the example of right to the boys. Can I tell you something? Model obedience to your children. Some of you are rearing young people. Now look at me. Some of you are going to rear your kids to disobey because they see you disobey and backtalk your wife. Or your husband. You want to smack them in the mouth or wash their mouth out with soap because of the way they back talk you, but all they did was hear how you talk to your spouse. Ouch. Everybody doing all right? Yeah, buddy. I remember my mama. She looked at me one day. She said, son, you're about to have a baby. She said, just remember, they're a mirror of your extreme. Everything you see at them, just remember it's you. Man, I hated that. I don't know how many times I called my mother and said, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm reaping what I have sown. You know, you're supposed to model respect to your children. How you treat your family at home is how they're going to treat others. How you treat your wife is how they're going to treat people. How you treat your husband is how they're going to treat people. Kindness and courtesy, please, thank you. Yes, sir, no, sir. By the way, I don't have any children at home, and I still answer my wife, yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. Say why? Because that's the right thing to do. We still say please and thank you to each other about everything. Yes. Can I tell you why? That's the right thing to do, not just because somebody's watching. Everybody doing all right? Dad didn't go around comparing the wrong of others to make his son's wrong seem not quite so bad. Quit making excuses for everybody. He wasn't salving his own feelings. Malachi, could you shut that door for me? Everybody listen to this statement. Sin is sin, and it doesn't matter what the last name of the person is. I don't care if it's Bush. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's Clinton. I don't care if it's Garner. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter what the last name is attached to it.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. I don't sugarcoat the wrong my kid did. I thank God I got him back.
Amen.
But I thank God I had two that didn't go the wrong way. Number three, I got to hurry. So, number one, Dad stayed at home and kept the same rules all along. Number two, Dad didn't blame God. Dad didn't blame himself. And God didn't blame somebody else for the wrong his son did. It wasn't the school's fault. It wasn't the teacher's fault. It wasn't that he didn't go to enough ball games when he was a kid. It wasn't that it was the neighbor's fault. It wasn't that Mama didn't burp him enough when he was a baby. It wasn't any of those stupid excuses. It was his fault.
Yes.
Number three, Dad didn't lose anything by his son disobeying. Matter of fact, the Bible says he gained wealth and gained reputation in the process. Did you know that the business kept running whether the son was there or not? Did you know life keeps going whether you're going to be a part of it or not? Did you know that just because you're hurting, the world didn't stop? Everybody wants everything to stop because they don't feel well, or stop because they're hurting, or stop because emotionally they're having a hard time, but everything has to keep going. The son broke the fellowship with the dad. Dad didn't break the fellowship with the son. The son moved away, the daddy didn't. Say, well, yeah, but if he would have let up on the rules, his son could have stayed. No, you don't change the rules to keep somebody there. I'm not going to change the doctrines of the Word of God just to keep somebody in church.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't care who that hair lips. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. I'm not changing it for anybody.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're not going to change what the Bible says. We're not all going to have this modern kumbaya praise and worship, jump up and down and jiggle like the world garbage. We're going to do it God's way. God said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Who was the pastor of the first church? Jesus Christ. It was a Baptist church.
Amen.
Say, how do you know? Who baptized him? John the
Baptist.
That wasn't John's last name.
What he was.
It was 300 years before there ever was a Catholic church. We're not Protestant. We're Baptist. Now, may I say this? Why should we change what the founder of the church, Jesus himself, did? We have no right. Did you know you can't go to Burger King and wear a McDonald's uniform and work? Say, well, preacher, that's kind of silly. Then why do you want to go to church and wear the world's uniform? Why do we want to have church name but world uniform? Well, we can attract so many more people. Just change the music standards. No, we're not going to change it. We're going to live it. Man, I'm having fun right now. Rebellion and disobedience breaks fellowship. Let me say that again. Rebellion and disobedience breaks fellowship.
Yes.
Quit model coddling your kids when they do wrong. Tell them they did wrong. Dad didn't go out and do all he could to get his son back. Dad stayed home doing what dad was supposed to do, made a place for him to come to, but he didn't change everything to get him back. Dad and the obedient son and the workers kept working and became even more successful. Dad didn't make his decisions based on whether his son would ever talk to him again or whether he would ever see his grandkids ever again. Ouch. Right and wrong's not dictated by where your children live or where your grandkids are. I texted my daughter-in-law this morning in Miami, and I said, so proud of her, and was loving on her for a second, and I said, I just miss seeing you, but I'm thankful that you're doing the will of God more than being able to see you every day. I'd rather have my kids in Miami and not see them but once every year or so than for them to be out of God's will living in Martinsburg.
Yes, sir.
Dad didn't give up on living because his son didn't turn out right. Well, if I would have... Well, you didn't. Don't worry about it. And you don't know anyway because they probably would have rebelled against it anyway. Rebellion is rebellion, plain and simple.
Yes.
Well, I might never see my grandchild again if I do this. Well, then you don't see your grandchild again, but at least you face God with clear conscience doing right. Number four. Dad was not bitter with his son. Listen to this. But he didn't give him equal status with the son that obeyed. Dad wasn't bitter with the son that left, Malachi. But when he came back, he was still a hired servant. He didn't get equal status. Everybody listen to this very carefully here. They threw a party for him because dad was glad that he was alive and willing to stay home. But the disobedient son didn't stay in the house. He stayed with the ranch hands. He was a hired servant. He was an employee. He worked and got a paycheck and had to manage his paycheck like all the other hired hands. And whatever success he got is because of what he did, not because of who he was. He had forfeited the right to be the blessed child that his brother was by staying home living right. Everybody doing okay? Dad loved him enough not to restore him to full status. I believe a church ought to be a hospital, not a museum. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before somebody makes a mistake in this church. One of our young people makes a mistake. And I get up and make them tell the whole church what wrong they did. That's wicked as hell.
Yes, sir.
That's wrong.
Amen.
And if they make a mistake, they're just as welcome here as they were before they made the mistake.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But may I say this, there are some mistakes that could cause them to lose certain privilege.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Preach on.
I'm not being mean. But we live in a day where there's no consequence for sin. Pray tell me, why is it the gun's fault when somebody goes into a school and starts shooting, but a guy can be at the White House yesterday, fired two shots at the White House, and then shot and killed himself, and it's not even in the news today? How come it wasn't the gun's fault?
Where's the protest against the NRA? Are we doing okay? Right and wrong is right and wrong. Sometimes you have to be hard on someone because of the wrong they did. You can't excuse it. Restoration doesn't mean they go back to the exact same position they were when they messed up. There are some things you can't go back and do in time.
Right.
Period. That doesn't mean you're a piece of trash. I have a whole sermon I'm going to preach one of these days. We believe in a world of recycling. How come we don't recycle people? We got blue bins out in front of the house, but we don't have a blue bin out in front of the church house. We need a blue bin out in front of the church house to recycle people. But I know pastors that have lost their ability to pastor scripturally, but they can still be used. They may never pastor, but they can still do something for God. I know Christians that have messed up to where they've hurt themselves. They've lost some influence, but there's still something else they can do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. There are consequences in life. Period. I'm not one of these people that don't believe in consequences for sin. By the way, Dad was being just by not restoring him to the same level of his other son. Why should you penalize the one that did right? Why should you take away more from the one that did right? That sounds like a bunch of Democrats. Take it from the people that make it to give it to the people that don't do anything and get mad because you don't give them more. Don't get me started. Whatever success the prodigal had the rest of his life was due to his own work ethic. By the way, everybody look at me. That's what real restoration is. Let's see here. Brother Mike, you used to piddle with cars and some of you other fellas. You know what it's like to get an old car, beat up car, and then you got to bondo that thing up? Amen, Brother Scott? You try to restore it. You can tell guys that knew what they were doing, and you can tell guys that didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
You got a fender that waves hello and goodbye at the same time as it passes by you. He didn't know what he was doing. He restored it, but it wasn't restored real well. Can I tell you something? But even in the restoration, some of it's not real. It looks good on the outside, but it's not real. We can restore somebody, but it doesn't mean it is exactly what it was when it was made. You don't restore somebody by excusing the wrong, bringing them back, and putting them into the same spot. They need to earn their way back.
Yes, sir.
When my son went to his Bible college, after he had been expelled to get back put in, there was an administrator there, Brother Mike, that voted against him. Two voted for, one against. Brother Scott, my wife will tell you exactly who it was if you ask her. I won't. But I called the man and I thanked him.
Yes, sir.
I said, thank you. I said, my son needs to realize just because his heart is right now doesn't mean that everybody's going to trust it. He needs to earn it. When I saw that man, I walked up and I shook his hand and I said, I want to thank you. He said, no, Brother Bush. He said, I want to thank you. He said, he's proving himself. If he can keep going, he's going to prove himself.
Yep.
I remember graduation night. That administrator walked up to me. He's a great big guy. Put his arms around me and started crying, put his head on my shoulder. He said, Brother Bush, he made it. He proved me wrong and I'm glad. I said, no. I'm glad you made him prove it. I am glad you made him prove it. when he got his diploma, I saw him afterwards. He saw that administrator. God is my witness. Josh ran over to him, and Josh is no bigger than me, and that guy is twice the size of Scott. You couldn't see Josh, but you could see that man's arms around Josh. And they were both sitting there hugging each other, crying. And Josh looked at him and said, "Thank you. Thank you for making it to where I had to work for this. It means that much more to me." Can I tell you something? We live in a generation that's too mamby-pamby, too sissy britches. Dad didn't change. This church isn't changing. I hate to disappoint you. This old preacher ain't changing. I might get a little meaner, a little crustier as I get older even. But I'm not changing it. I don't care how the generations go. I can pull sermon files from 30 years ago and show you I'm preaching the same thing I preached then. I'm not changing it. Why should we change what's right and wrong? Just because we have a sissy generation? Uh-uh. Somebody's got to declare the truth.
Yes.
You know, young people are sick and tired of all the sissy stuff.
Yeah.
They really are. We as parents, we as leaders, need to pull this thing of living right close to us. We have to model it for our kids. We have to model it for our grandkids. I have to model it for our church. I have to model it for our young people. Young people, listen to me. I'm not asking you to do anything this week on this trip that I haven't lived for the last 40 years of my life. Everybody doing okay? I'm not changing anything to go on this trip. Well, I will change my clothes from time to time on the trip. For the which we all say, amen. Wait a minute. We as a church need to decide we're going to do right and not change with the world. Because now churches are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. We need to walk with God ourselves and do right, whether anybody else in our home does or does not. Do you know your walk with God is individual? I'm for you praying as a family. I'm for reading the Bible as a family, but you need individual one-on-one time with God.
Amen.
I mean alone with God. That's how you're going to make it.
Yes.
Not just because you prayed with your mommy. Not just because you prayed with your daddy or your husband or your wife. Not just because you read your Bible with your spouse, but you did it individually with God. I can't walk with God for my wife. She's got to walk with God. You can't walk with God for your kids. They got to learn to walk with God. My son Jeff, he's working like a crazy man right now. I think last week he put 72, 74 hours in. I don't know how many hours he got in this week. Started work at 7 o'clock last night, got off at 7 o'clock this morning. At 7:05, I got a text from him. It said, "Dad, 12 hours done. Finally, I get to go work my bus route."
Praise the Lord.
Hadn't worked. He worked all stinking night long, went home, changed clothes, ran down to the church and got on an old rickety bus to go pick up bus kids, preach junior church today. We'll take them home, then he'll sleep for a couple hours and go to church tonight. And possibly go back to work tonight. I have no idea. And work all night long. By the way, he's not in Bible college. He's a layman. Nobody making him do it. I'm so proud of him. Say why. He's the one that stayed home.
Yes, sir.
He's not a preacher. But he's the one that stayed home. I'm just as proud of him. Huh. Dad didn't change. May I say this? You shouldn't change either. Unless it's the change to do the right thing. If you have some things in your life that need cleaned up, let's get it cleaned up. You need to apologize to your kids because you haven't lived right, then apologize to your kids because you haven't lived right and start living right whether they do or don't. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'd say, "Preacher, if I die today and I don't want anybody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed,
individually, who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know. Now, listen to me. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon today, man, that thing hit me right between the eyeballs. That's something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand and said, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, or if you didn't raise your hand, we can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you raised your hand saying that this sermon hit you in a certain way, then how about you come as far forward as you can or kneel there at your chair and use your chair as an altar, but